This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
All right. The question, of course, with the big debate tonight is how will Joe Biden do? Will Bernie take over from America's mother-in-law's surging momentum? And, of course, will you come out and see us tonight at the FOP Lodge 5? Hope you do. The media being exposed for doing what they're doing. The Democrats doing impeachment behind closed doors. And as CNN reports, Trump voters on camera not backing away from the president. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. Let's see who got our movie right. Layton, our buddy Layton in Langhorne. Layton, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rich.
How you doing, bud?
I'm doing well, brother. You?
Doing great. What's the movie?
It's The Blues Brothers, of course.
You got it, man. You got it. All right, Layton, come out and see us at one of these live events sometime, all right?
My favorite Blues Brothers-based movie.
It's really, the other ones don't even really compare, do they?
Absolutely. Look forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Layton. Congrats. 855-839-1210. Jerry is in Burlington. Jerry, good morning.
Yes. Yeah, this is Jerry from Burlington.
That's what I said.
Okay, hi. I was just calling in about the Sam Donaldson comment.
Yes.
And, you know, when Trump says, like, let's make America great again, he's talking about the prosperity that Reagan had, you know, the United States had under Reagan during the 80s. And this is like what everyone does. Like, they take everything he says out of context, like the Charlottesville comment when he said there were both people on good sides. He was referring to the people that were there to talk about.
Yes, he said, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white supremacists. He literally said that. Yeah, what Sam Donaldson is doing is what they're all doing. I mean, this idea that we return to a white Christian country. Let me ask you, how do we do that anyway? No, let's say we wanted to do it. How do we achieve that?
How do we turn to a white Christian
country? Yeah, say Sam Donaldson's point is true, that the president really wants to return us to a white Christian country. How is that achieved?
Well, then I suppose everyone who's not white and Christian has to leave the United States, which is never going to happen.
That's
and
a lot of people, right?
Republicans don't want that, but that's the talking point.
Okay, but I'm saying, so let's logically debunk his talking point. How would we get rid of millions and millions and millions of people who are not white Christians?
It's just an absurd idea. I can't even think of it rationally.
No, you can't. But remember, there was a country on Earth that did try to get rid of people that they didn't want, right? Through the Holocaust. And that's also what Sam Donaldson's doing, is he wants to try to make people think that maybe, just maybe, you know, there might be some final solution coming down the road if Trump's reelected to a second term.
Well, that's scary, but it's
shameful is what it is. It's shameful and pathetic. I also don't think anybody really buys it. You know what I mean? Except
Of course not. That's not Trump. No. You know, look, Trump was a billionaire. He had everything he wanted. You know, why do this? You know what I mean? Because he loves the United States. That's why he's doing it.
You are correct, sir. Absolutely right. And that's why he's going to get a lot of black voters, too, because African-American employment's low. And I think people realize the hypocrisy of the Democrats on that issue. There are a lot of Jewish people in this country who vote Democrat. I don't know why. But if the president wanted to get back to a white Christian country, he'd have to start by getting rid of his own family.
His son-in-law is an
Orthodox Jew. His daughter converted and they have Jewish grandkids. He has Jewish grandkids. So would he have to get rid of them, too?
Of course not.
All right. Thank you, Jerry. Appreciate it.
All right. Take care, Rich.
You too. Bye-bye. You got it. It is about the economy. Of course it is. It's never about being a white Christian country getting back. Now, we have Judeo-Christian values upon which the country was founded, which would be nice to get back to those, which are values that have to do with things like, for example, individual liberty and being able to worship your God as you see fit. Those values are not about hatred or getting rid of people. Those values are about protecting liberty and protecting people's freedom. And that's the truth. Remember, this is something that people don't talk about. The abolitionist movement, which was led by two groups, the Republican Party and Christians. the abolitionist anti-slavery movement. Two groups that joined together in force, the Republican Party, which was a new political party, and abolitionists who were in large part Republicans, but mostly Christians, mostly Christian people, Quakers and other Christians who were anti-slavery. And remember, and I talked about this earlier, New York Times with their hatred of Italians going all the way back for a very, very long time. This excellent piece written in the New York Times, How Italians Became White. Brent Staples, a member of the editorial board, was writing about how the New York Times back then used to write awful, horrible things about Italians, among blacks and everything else. Like, for example, Times editors rebuked an anti-lynching campaign, and they said that the leader of the anti-lynching campaign was representing black brutes abroad. And they joked in an editorial about what they describe, editorials, what they describe as the practice of roasting Negro ravishers alive and boring out their eyes with red-hot pokers. The editorial slandered African-Americans, generally referring to rape as a crime to which Negroes are particularly prone. The Times editors may have lodged objections to lynching, but they did so in a rhetoric firmly rooted in white supremacy. And he writes, Italian immigrants were welcomed into Louisiana after the Civil War when the planter class was in desperate need of cheap labor to replace newly emancipated black people who were leaving back-breaking jobs in the fields for more gainful employment. Remember, yesterday was Columbus Day, right? And everybody you hear talks about the woke is now it's Indigenous Peoples Day. Columbus was awful. Columbus Day grew out of a way to protect Italians from being treated like scum of the earth and being beaten and killed on the streets. He writes, the Italians seem at first to be the answer to both the labor shortage and the increasingly pressing quest for settlers who would support white domination in the emerging Jim Crow state. Louisiana's romance with Italian labor began to sour when the new immigrants balked at low wages and dismal working conditions. And the newcomers also chose to live together in Italian neighborhoods where they spoke their native tongue, preserved Italian customs, and developed successful businesses that catered to African Americans with whom they fraternized and intermarried. In time, this proximity to blackness would lead white Southerners to view Sicilians in particular as not fully white and to see them as eligible for persecution, including lynching that had customarily been imposed on African Americans. Of course, now, you're not going to hear any of the woke crowd talk about this on Columbus Day, are you? The New York Times, for instance, described Italians as bandits and members of the criminal classes who were wretchedly poor and unskilled, starving and wholly destitute. A stereotype about inborn criminality is plainly evident in an 1874 New York Times story about how Italian immigrants seeking vaccinations, that refers to one immigrant as a burly fellow whose appearance was that of the traditional Abruzzi brigade. A Times story in 1880 described immigrants, including Italians, as links in a descending chain of evolution. There has never been, since New York was founded, so low and ignorant a class among the immigrants who poured in here as these Southern Italians who have been crowding our docks during the past year, the New York Times editorialized in 1882. The editors reserve their worst incentive for Italian immigrant children, whom they described as utterly unfit, ragged, filthy, and venomous. They were vermin to be placed in the public primary schools among the decent children of American mechanics. The racist myth that African Americans and Sicilians were both innately criminal drove an 1887 New York Times story about a lynching victim in Mississippi whose name was given as Dago Joe. Dago being a slur directed at a half-breed who was the son of a Sicilian father and a mulatto mother and had the worst characteristics of both races in his makeup. He was cunning, treacherous, and cruel and was regarded in the community where he lived as an assassin by nature. In the fall of 1890, when the Italians in New Orleans, 11 of them were hanged and lynched, and of course they were, New York Times wrote an editorial praising the killers, praising them, of course, and calling them among the best of society, mostly the best element of New Orleans society. A New York Times editorial justified the lynching and dehumanized the dead with by now familiar racist stereotypes. Quote, from the New York Times editorial, those sneaking and cowardly Sicilians, the descendants of bandits and assassins who have transported to this country the lawless passions, the cutthroat practices, are to us a pest without mitigation. Our own rattlesnakes are as good citizens as they are. Our own murderers are men of feeling and nobility compared to them. The editors concluded of the lynching that it would be difficult to find one individual who would confess that privately he deplores it very much. They were lynched because of, they were accused of horse theft, by the way, horse thievery. So that led to President Benjamin Harrison in 1891, State of the Union address, calling to protect foreign nationals from mob violence and then opening the door for an Italian-American Day so that they could first welcome Italians as immigrants and talk about all the work that they did to help discover America. The monument to the immigrant, commissioned by the Italian-American Marching Club of New Orleans, stands along the Mississippi River in Waldenburg Park. But in the late 19th century, the full-blown Columbus myth was yet to come. The New Orleans lynching solidified a defamatory view of Italians generally, and Sicilians in particular, as irredeemable criminals. Anyway, I just point that out to you because yesterday, with all the woke nonsense of Indigenous Peoples Day, they absolutely glossed over how Italians were treated in this country, how they were called horrible names and they were killed. They were called assassins by nature. But I also find it fascinating, too, that the New York Times, if you ever read Mark Levin's book on Freedom of the Press, he exposes their vile anti-Semitism that they had all throughout World War II and how the New York Times editorial board covered up for the Holocaust. And they were Holocaust deniers. They talked about how Jews should not be welcome in the United States. Still in business, New York Times, still kicking, and still showing bias to this day, of a different kind of bias, of course, a much different bias. But I just still would like to point out they've always been a biased piece of trash. They've never been a good newspaper, in my opinion. I don't know why they earn such accolades. I really don't know where it comes from. But anyway, ABC News wanted to outdo the New York Times yesterday. They said, hold my beer. This is what they did. They showed a Syria bombing video that's fake. It's actually from a Kentucky military show in 2017. Now, obviously, it's easy to confuse a Kentucky military show with a Syria bombing. I mean, it happens all the time. So what can you do? ABC News, the network that employs George Stephanopoulos as their chief political guy. Take a listen.
This video, obtained by ABC News, appears to show the fury of the Turkish attack on the border town of Tel Aviv, a border town bombarded by Turkey's military.
Weeks since President Trump ordered U.S. forces out of that region, effectively abandoning America's allies in the fight against ISIS. This video right here appearing to show Turkey's military bombing Kurd civilians in a Syrian border town. The Kurds, who fought alongside the U.S. against ISIS. Now, horrific reports of atrocities committed by Turkish-backed fighters on those very allies.
Now, anybody familiar with the Bourbon Knob Creek? You're not a bourbon guy, Stocker, are you?
I do like some of it, but it's not my favorite. It's not my go-to.
By the way, Dawn, is it bad to drink brown liquor?
Yes. It's bad for you.
Why is it bad?
Because you want, like, the silver tequilas and the clear stuff. Because it's just better for you.
I don't know why I even ask these questions. I know the answer already.
He baits me into this stuff.
So the Knob Creek Night Shoot 2017 referred to an evening machine gun event held by the Knob Creek Gun Range in Kentucky. So ABC News apologized for its error, but didn't specify how it occurred. This from the New York Times. The report was about Turkey bombing in Syria. ABC showed video from a Kentucky gun range. That happens all the time, don't you think?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, all the time.
Turkey and Kentucky look identical.
Right. And a bunch of people shooting machine guns, not at each other, but just shooting them.
It's
just like genocide.
Every time I'm in Kentucky, I'm like, oh, is Turkey? No.
You know, one time I went to a travel agency to book a trip to Turkey. I wound up in Kentucky.
It happens all the time, Rich. You're not alone.
I'm not alone. I shouldn't feel bad about that, right?
No.
Now, they said, the Knob Creek representative said that the Knob Creek Shoot 2017, which is held at the Knob Creek Gun Range in Kentucky, an employee who answered the phone at the gun range on Monday, would not give his name, said that he was not sure who shot the video, but said he recognized it as having been taken at their facility. Apparently, it's like the biggest machine gun shoot in the country or something like that, where people go and shoot machine guns. It sounds fun. I want to go. I don't know if you drink bourbon while you shoot. They should do that. That'd be amazing.
What could possibly go wrong?
Yes. Right. What could possibly go wrong? We've taken down the video that aired on World News Tonight, Sunday, and Good Morning America that appeared to be from the Syrian border immediately after questions were raised about its accuracy, the network said in a statement on Monday. ABC News regrets the error. Oops. Oops. What are you going to do? Anyway. And not only made it to World News Tonight, it also made it onto Good Morning America. So, Yes.
Yeah, what we had there was a montage of three different. It was ABC, Nightly News, Good Morning America, and there was another one in there, too. So there was three different newscasts that it made it on before they realized their error.
Three.
And then when they didn't go on air with a correction, they actually just tweeted it out.
No, they just tweeted it.
Yeah, they didn't say, hey, by the way, if you were watching this, it wasn't true.
Oops. Look at us. Oopsie. But they tweeted it out, Dawn, so it's all good. They showed something to millions of people on television, but they tweeted it. They tweeted the correction. Practically the same thing.
Not so much.
So you're saying now airing it on multiple television platforms where theoretically millions of people could watch is not the same thing as tweeting it where some people might see it if they're looking to see it.
Correct. In other words, they should tweet it, but they should also put it within the same broadcast time at the beginning, not the end, not buried, and say, we have an important clarification. This happened, and, you know, we apologize or whatever.
Breaking news on World News Tonight. We screwed up. That should be the lead story, right?
Not the lead, but they definitely, first of all, it goes to their credibility. So it helps them to just be transparent.
Right. So what we thought was Turkey and the Kurds being fired upon was actually, just a fun night out of the gun range in Kentucky. Jeez. We apologize for the error. ABC News, maybe they were drinking Knob Creek when they made the story. Is that possible?
It's very embarrassing.
It is very embarrassing. By the way, let me just say for the record, I am tired of brown drinks identifying as bourbon when they are not made in Kentucky. In order for it to be bourbon, it has to be made in Kentucky. Everybody knows that, right?
Correct.
Oh, I'm going to be accused of making fun of the South again. I'm not. I'm actually defending the South right now.
Yeah, you're actually saying they make the best bourbon.
They do. And I'm tired of all these northeastern states making bourbon, making a brown liquor and calling it bourbon when it's not from Kentucky.
So it's wannabe.
It's wannabe. Minnie sent a note. She said, I'm from Houston, Texas, and I still live in the vicinity, and I've never been offended by anything you have said about the South. So you and your crew keep up the good work.
It's a throwback to a call yesterday from a listener who says that the South is always mocked on this radio station, this show in particular.
And I said, I say you are wrong, sir. I think what he was thinking of, I thought about this after the show, I think he was thinking of my impression of Virginia Governor Ralph Northam. But Governor Shoe Polish Face.
Right, but you're making fun of somebody who wore blackface.
Right, a horrific human being who supports post-birth abortion, a horrible man. I'm making fun of him, and the voice that I'm using is Foghorn Leghorn.
Yes.
Because it's the only accent I do.
And then his wife went on, had children on a field trip, the first lady, right, and said something about they should pick cotton or something.
She handed out cotton to the little African-American children who were visiting the governor's mansion. Here, in the old days, you'd pick this, but I'm going to hand this to you. Here you go, kids. That was amazing, that call yesterday. Harry is in Newark, Delaware. Yes, Harry, good morning. Harry.
Yes.
Go ahead.
You're wrong on bourbon.
You sir are wrong. What am I wrong about?
Bourbon. Bourbon can be made in any state in the United States.
I disagree.
As long as it follows the rules of making bourbon. But
I disagree.
It's called Kentucky straight bourbon whiskey. It has to be made in Kentucky.
I disagree. And Tom Massey, my buddy, the congressman from Kentucky, backed me up on this. Bourbon has to be made in Kentucky. I stand by that fact.
I'm sorry. That's wrong.
No, you're wrong. What's that laugh, man?
Oh, boy. Oh, God.
Good stuff. But
you trying out for the Joker?
It has to follow the rules of being at least 51% corn. It has to be...
Do you make bourbon?
No, I want to get a still to put in my garage, but I have not done so yet.
All right. When you start making your garage bourbon, will you send us a bottle?
Absolutely.
All right.
Love garage bourbon.
Thank you, Harry. Appreciate it, bud.
Yep. Have a great one.
All right. You too. That laugh was creepy, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. Yeah.
Man. Oof. Anyway. Let's see now. Speaking of creepy, the Elizabeth Warren, America's mother-in-law, she has dodged the middle-class tax question. I will play that for you in just a second.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your- your schedule. This is the Zioli Show podcast.
Yes, it is, and we are glad you're here tonight. Hopefully we'll see you tonight at the FOP Lodge 5 for our big debate watch party. It'll be a lot of fun. Come by and see us tonight. Remember, the FOP Lodge 5 Survivors Fund. You don't have to make a contribution, but if you would like to throw a couple bucks in the bucket tonight, our buddy John Hoyt will be out there collecting some money to raise money for the men and women of law enforcement, fallen police officers and officers hurt in the line of duty. And we're going to have a lot of fun. There'll be a big screen, and Dom's going to be there, and I'll be there. We'll say hello. There's food, drinks. They'll have lots of specials. It's Taco Tuesday tonight. And I want to thank our sponsor of the Debate Watch Party, Delaware Valley Sports Center. Delaware Valley Sports Center, which is where you go to learn how to fire a weapon, and you do it responsibly and safely. And they have a great selection of new and previously owned firearms, and also classes on safety and classes on personal safety as well. So go check them out at DelawareValleySportsCenter.com. And thanks to them for sponsoring our big debate watch party tonight. Anthony will be there. He's the owner. Great guy. Last week he took out $500, handed it to the FOP, the Survivors Fund. Said thanks for all you guys do. So you could feel free to give some money tonight if you like. We'll have Zioli Army T-shirts on hand. We'll get the party started about 7 o'clock. Elizabeth Warren, America's mother-in-law, has dodged the middle-class tax question. This is from Americans for Tax Reform, Cut 8.
15 extra seconds. Would you raise taxes on the middle class to pay for Medicare for all, offset, obviously, by the elimination of insurance premiums? Yes or no?
Costs will go up for billionaires and go up for corporations.
So do you think then that Americans are willing to pay a little bit more in taxes if generally the household costs are going down on
healthcare? I think that families care about what they're...
You keep being asked in the debates, how are you going to pay for it? Are you going to raise the middle class taxes?
Right.
How are you going to pay for it? Are you going to raise the middle class taxes?
So here's how we're going to do this.
Are you also, quote, with Bernie on Medicare for All when it comes to raising taxes on middle class Americans to pay for it?
But will you pay more in taxes? Don't you want to answer that question?
Because
as Jake said tonight, that's a Republican talking point. It's not a Republican talking point.
For giant corporations and very wealthy individuals, costs will go up. But for middle-class families, for hardworking people, costs are going to go down.
But that's not the same as taxes not going up.
What matters to families is costs.
But will their taxes go up?
Well, but here's the thing.
Here's the thing. I've listened to these answers a few times before, and I just want to make a parallel suggestion for you about how you might defend the taxes that perhaps you're not mentioning.
How much are your costs going to go down?
No, different question. How much will your taxes go up?
No, it's how much are your costs?
Because I have a different question.
It's how much families end up spending.
I know that argument. I know how you're covering.
It's not just an argument. No, it was talking about taxing her Cadillac healthcare plan that she had asked me about. Look, I think what you're asking about is Medicare for All, and I'm pretty clear on this. Rich people and big corporations are going to see their costs go up, but middle-class families are going to see their costs go down.
Her payroll go up.
You
guys dodged that tonight.
Because
Jake Tapper kept saying, how much of your tax is going to go up? And you'd say...
Senator says that Senator Sanders has been candid about the fact that middle-class taxes are going to go up and most of private insurance is going to be eliminated. Will you make that same admission?
So, let's be clear.
Direct question.
You notice how anytime anybody ever says, let's be clear, they're about to lie or dodge a question? So, let's be clear. Let's be clear, I'm not answering this question. I'm going to dodge it again. 17 times is the total times that Elizabeth Warren has dodged the middle class tax question. 17 times in that little montage from Americans for Tax Reform. 17 times. Bernie is not hiding it, by the way. Bernie's going to raise taxes on everybody. And when it comes to billionaires, they'll pay 97.5% in taxes. 97.5% effective tax rate for billionaires. Now, here's my question. Does anybody think billionaires are going to stay when they're billionaires and they can afford to leave? Like, in other words, if you tax somebody 97.5% and they can't afford to go anywhere, they're stuck with the bill. But if you can leave because you're a billionaire, wouldn't you just leave and not pay 97.5%? You just go somewhere else. I don't know. Anywhere else. Mexico, for example. Just get in your jet and fly away and not pay 97.5% in taxes. Isn't that obviously, I mean, it's what I would do if I were a billionaire. Oh, I owe 97.5%? Right. Well, guess what? I'm now a citizen of Costa Rica, so.
Lovely this time of year.
Yeah, lovely this time of year. C'est la vie. Of course, billionaire Tom Steyer wants to be the Democrats' great white hope. As Democrats look to turn to another straight, white, cisgender male who's a billionaire, Tom Steyer, who hates Trump's guts, wants to impeach him, and of course is woke even though he's a white, straight, cisgender male. Not the gay guy running, not the black guy running, not the black woman running, Tom Steyer. He's who the Democrats are now looking at going, you know what, maybe we should give this guy another look. See, I point all that out, by the way, because they're so hypocrite. They're so hypocritical on this woke stuff, you know. They're full of it. They're so full of it. And I love to point that out. I mean, really, Pete Buttigieg is gay. He's got no shot. Tulsi Gabbard's a Hindu. She has no shot. You got, who is it now? Kamala Harris, who's black woman. She's got no shot of becoming the nominee. Cory Booker, Senator, Count Grantsangelis, Spartacus Booker. He's got no shot of becoming the nominee. But woke, white, cisgender, white, old guy, Tom Steyer, billionaire. He might be the guy that comes in at the end and saves the day. Stay woke. That's what I mean. Stay woke.
Stay woke.
That's right. With an old, white, cisgender, male, straight billionaire. I love these people. I really do. This is him using a little bit. But he does channel a drama queen, which is good. He does identify as a drama queen. Take a listen.
We are in the fight of our lives. Everything is on the table in 2020. They think so too, because they think if they lose in 2020, that they're going to have to, the rules are going to be fair and they're never going to win again. And they're right.
See?
If we win in 2020,
now stop for
done.
A second now. He's because the rules have to be fair or they'll never win again. And they're right. And he's saying now, if we win in 2020, the Republicans will never win again because we'll make sure the rules are never fair again. He's admitting that. Sorry, go ahead.
The rules are going to be fair and they're never going to win again. And they're right. If we win in 2020, they're done forever.
See?
But it's scary for us, too, because if they win, literally, it could be the end of the world.
Literally could be the end of the world. That's Tom Steyer, drama queen Tom Steyer, who is now the Democrats' great white hope, billionaire. You haven't heard of him, but it doesn't matter. He's got lots of money and lots of time, and he's going nowhere. Hey, listen, I want to tell you about our sponsor this hour of Nonstop Talk, Newsmax TV. If you are looking for an alternative to Fox News, Newsmax TV wants to be your alternative. If you love Mike Huckabee, well, he's got a show called The Mike Huckabee Show. It's on Newsmax TV every Monday night at 10 o'clock. You can see Mike's show on Newsmax, but they have so many other great guests on there. They've got Michelle Malkin, our buddy Michelle Malkin, Jersey girl, was just on with me yesterday. They have so many people, Bill O'Reilly's on there. And do you have a gremlin take over your system?
It's the Russians.
One day.
Wait, are we on the air?
We're fine.
Okay, we're live on the air. All right, that's good. We haven't done that news sounder in years.
I know.
Months,
well,
actually.
Months, yeah.
Since we moved to mornings.
Years, months.
Feels like years. No, I'm just kidding.
Greg's got a lot to do, Dawn. You understand
he's
very busy. It's not the fault of the executive producer, Greg Stocker, what just happened there. He's a very busy man these days.
Thank you, Rich.
For example.
Oh, no.
I'd like to share this with everybody. The subject of this email I received yesterday, Dawn, is entitled 10th Floor Bathroom.
Oh, no.
The sender, Greg Stocker, executive producer of The Rich Zeoli Show and assistant program director, Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. He addresses it, copies everyone, and thank you for not blind copying anyone either, by the way. I appreciate that as well. Addressing it, greetings. Greetings? Who the hell uses greetings in an email, by the way?
Well, he probably looked up, you know, like what is a proper format for a corporate, you know, manager.
Well, the corporate shill handbook? The corporate shill handbook says, if you're about to lecture everybody on bathroom usage, please use greetings as the appropriate greeting.
Just so he ends with, wash your hands.
Greetings. I really can't believe I have to say this. But when I came in Monday morning, the 10th floor bathroom was a mess, all caps, seriously gross. This is a shared workspace and the bathroom is used by everyone. That's what shared workspace means. Please respect your other co-workers and clean up after yourself when you are done. We have a wonderful cleaning crew that cleans those bathrooms, but it is not their job to clean up after you. We are all adults. Please make sure this never happens again. Thank you. corporate shill. 10th floor bathroom email, Dawn, the first of many to come of the Greg Stocker era, which is now fully underway.
But you guys saw that bathroom yesterday.
It was disgusting.
It was disgusting.
But I love how you send this to everybody as if we were all in on it together. Like we all took turns messing up the bathroom, like high-fiving each other.
No, he's writing it to the Weekend People.
No, I'm writing it to everyone because I don't want to single anybody out because I don't know who did it.
Because that's what managers do.
So I have to.
Right, managers make everybody feel guilty, yeah. Even when you know you're not.
We know who did it.
We know it was one of the filthy weekend overnight
yes.
fill-in host.
We know who you are.
Everyone.
But we'll put everybody on there to make them all feel together.
Everyone who works on the 10th floor, there's not many of us anymore,
right.
But everybody who works on the 10th floor was on that email.
How do you know it wasn't somebody from the 9th floor?
Thank you, Dawn.
Dink, dink, dink.
Thank you, Dawn.
Sneaking over here, messing up our bathroom.
One of those filthy whip people.
Yeah.
I see the filthy whip people come up here all the time to get coffee and whatnot. How do you know it wasn't one of them?
Maybe
right?
It was. Maybe.
They do. They yep. do come up see? Here, but they use the hallway bathroom, not this single-use bathroom.
But they could.
I saw a
whip person, 94.1 whip, sports nobody, station. I saw a whip person getting water the other day in our kitchen, which is right next to that bathroom.
Well, to be fair, water is a commodity here. Every week it seems like there's a...
we're like New Jersey.
That's a good point.
But my point is, though, that if they're coming for water and the bathroom's 4 feet away, theoretically possible they could use the bathroom.
That's true.
No. So why not also address it to the whip people?
Because I'm not the program director of that radio station. That would be Spike Eskin.
So will your co-program director,
he's the program director,
corporate
the
overlord, yes. Will he also threaten the 9th floor people?
No, because
with this bathroom shaming?
No.
He was CC'd on it, though, I believe, wasn't he?
He was CC'd. I'd like him to forward that to everybody at the whip. I am tired, Dawn, of being labeled just because I'm Italian, as being accused of being a filthy bathroom user.
I was.
You, sir, sound like the New York Times in the Italian editorials I've been referencing all day.
I was told that this is not the first time this has happened. This is like the fourth or fifth time this has happened. So.
I love that you use all caps. Mess, seriously, gross.
I don't want to send these emails. We're all adults. We're functioning human beings. The state that bathroom was left in should never be. I mean, that was abysmal.
Totally agree with Greg on that.
Let me just say, Greg, I'm so proud of you. And all these years we've worked together and I've known you. 5 years now you've been my executive producer. But to see you become a corporate shill, to witness this transformation with my own eyes
yes.
is something so special to me. In my heart.
I'm glad.
It's like, you know, when your son gets accepted to a prestigious school or gets a big job, you know, and daddy's going to be taken care of. It's like, I know now. Well, this transition from the first time I ever met you, which was in Ed Palladino's office, who was a program director a couple of PDs ago, and Greg said to me, as I was trying to get advice on how to break into radio, I think it was like 2011 or something,
yeah.
Greg said to me one word, that word?
Strippers.
Strippers. To hear you go from that to this just makes me very, proud inside.
I wasn't wrong back then, and I'm not wrong now.
Corporate shill. It is not their job. We are all adults. Please make sure this never happens again. Have you thought about putting a camera in the bathroom?
Put one outside. Who's going in, who's going out.
Actually, we could put a code on the bathroom and just, you know who goes in and out.
I think it's a great idea. I think I'd like a facial recognition scan. All right, well, there you go.
You know, we could do like what taxi cabs do and have just a voice-activated thing like, make sure you wash your hands.
Oh, I like that.
Make sure you wipe around, you know, where you piddled or whatever.
Yeah, please put the seat up, that sort of thing. I like that. That's very good.
By the way, every workplace can relate to what I'm saying right now or what you're saying because it is every workplace has had what happened over the weekend happen in their public bathrooms.
Did you ever think when you got into radio,
No.
Did you ever think this is where you'd end up writing bathroom memos?
No. I said to my wife.
As a culmination of your radio broadcasting career?
I said to my wife last night, I said, this is my job now. And she goes, the days of, you know, skating in and skating out are far from over.
This is your magnus opus, this email.
It is.
I'm framing this.
Okay.
I'm framing this 10th floor bathroom email. I'm putting it right in my next to my broadcasting awards.
Oh. It was a good memo. Right, it was diplomatic.
And I love that you didn't blind copy anybody, so now all our emails are. And I love that you put Matt DeSantis on this. Matt DeSantis is at Harvard.
Well, he works weekends sometimes.
Was he around this weekend?
Yes. I don't know.
You think it was DeSantis? Let's blame DeSantis. Actually, we have exclusive audio of him getting caught in the bathroom. We have exclusive audio of Matt DeSantis. Getting Ellinger. Caught in the bathroom.
It's not that Matt.
Yeah, see that?
Although he would date her if he had the opportunity.
Well, I would date her too. She's the Kensington hottie with the foul mouth. Yes. Who wouldn't?
She can take a punch.
She's about to become a very wealthy woman after she sues Wildwood and wins in court. And she's going to win. She's going to get money. They'll just pay her off. Yes.
At the Joey Faye says, my email was to take away from the real culprit, me.
See? Corporate shill does what? Ruins the bathroom and then blames it on his staff. Blames it on the workers, Dawn. The workers.
See?
We're going to rise up.
This is going to be a mutiny on my bounty.
By the way, speaking of people who are defending the working class, Bernie Sanders, of course, he's always about the working class. Bernie finally has outlined the real difference between Donald Trump and Bernie Sanders on ABC's This Week with the unbiased journalist George Stephanopoulos. Cut six.
Now, how you deal with Turkey, how you deal with that whole region is a whole other issue. It's no great secret. I am a strong opponent of endless wars. You're looking at a candidate who opposed vigorously the war in Iraq because they knew exactly the kind of destabilization.
I mean, he sounded a little bit like Bernie Sanders when he was
talking about lies. The difference between
wars.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. But the difference between Trump and me is he lies. I don't. And again, you don't turn your back on an ally that lost 11,000 troops fighting against terrorism through a tweet and a discussion with Erdogan.
It sounds like Bernie's going to be all in on Syria. And the difference between Donald Trump and me is he lies. That's the difference. All right? Oh, and also I have four houses in Vermont. And Trump does it. Oh, and my wife's under federal investigation. But there's other differences, too, between him and Bernie Sanders. But Bernie's going to be in fighting form tonight. All right, Dawn, how are we looking today?
Good morning. We're looking good. It's a gorgeous morning. Clear skies. Talk Radio 1210, WPHT, 51 degrees
Dawn,
right now.
Dawn, excuse me. I don't mean to interrupt your news. But Greg is in Doylestown. He has an idea for us to help with the 10th floor bathroom issue. Yes, okay. Greg.
Yeah, I just wanted to offer a solution. It works around our home. My son trains puppies, 8-week-old puppies, and you know what? By 3 weeks, they're crate trained. They don't go where they're not supposed to go. They whimper and whine when they need to go outside. Might be a good solution for that 10th floor bathroom.
I think Greg should mandate that all employees have to go through crate training.
Crate training.
That's right.
Do you think that the corporate show should mandate that, Greg?
I think it should. I think it weeds out the whiners and the ones that can't aim straight.
I agree. Thank you, Greg. Appreciate that. Very well done. All right.
I wish it was just the aiming was the problem.
It's the new Greg Stocker era. All employees now will have to go through mandatory bathroom training.
My mom used to cut little donut-shaped things out of like a Kleenex.
Yeah.
And put it in the toilet, and my brother had to aim in there, like target practice.
Oh, that's gross.
We could do that, like little Olympics.
Yeah, I just want to make sure these disgusting people are also washing their hands, by the way.
Yeah.
Oh, my mom has weighed in defending you. I think that was a good email.
Thank
good
you.
Job, Greg.
Thank you.
Your
Thank
mother
you.
Doesn't work there.
Thank you, Mama
Zioli. See that?
Yes. I needed her. That's what I should have said. Your mother does not work here. Please clean up after yourselves.
All right. But your mother, it would be very sexist to imply that the mothers clean up, right? Some dads clean up after the kids.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I do. I have to change diapers. Claire, we're trying to potty train her. I still do that. Okay. So, you know.
What you clean up from your kids is
all
nothing.
Right, don't get people, please. People are having breakfast, all right?
Everybody's having breakfast.
Everybody's having breakfast right now, all right? All right, Dawn, let's go with the news.
All right, so Zioli Show News brought to you by...
I'm going to miss the debate watch party tonight.
I know, I'll talk about that. So Zioli Show News brought to you by Cherry Hill Volvo. Okay, so this British family says they are traumatized and they feel they were abducted, their word, by ICE and then transferred to a detention facility here in Pennsylvania. So this is David and Eileen Connors. He's 30, she's 24. They say they were vacationing in Canada, driving with their 3-month-old baby son, David's brother, his wife, and their twin toddler daughters when they claim David swerves to avoid hitting an animal, doesn't say what kind of an animal it is, got lost on an unmarked road along the border between Canada Canada and the USA accidentally crossed the border. And they were suddenly, they say, taken into custody by Border Patrol and then transferred to Burke's Detention Center. That's here in Pennsylvania, which is usually, as we know, for illegal immigrants. So the Connors claim it's just a filthy, unsafe place. They've been horribly treated, they claim. The People's Justice Center is now involved, filing a complaint on behalf of the Connors family. U.S. officials say the Connors claims are completely false.
Something about this story doesn't sound right to me. There's something about this I don't quite get, because here's why, right? So the story says they swerved from Canada into the U.S. to avoid an animal on the road. Now they and their baby are in custody, right?
Right.
Okay, but here's what, something is wrong. I don't know what it is, but my spidey sense is up here and that there's something strange about this. They said they didn't know they crossed into the border, right? Because Canada and U.S., a lot of times it's not marked. Depending on where you are, it may not be marked, right? But what they claim is that they turned down this road and they were visiting Vancouver. They never intended to enter the U.S. They were, her husband's cousin, Michael Connors, was driving close to the border when an animal suddenly appeared in the lane. He turned onto an unmarked road to avoid a collision. In moments, multiple police cars and Border Patrol agents appeared. Now, I have family up there. You know, my wife's family is from Tupper Lake, New York, which is right on the Canadian border. And you're driving along the border up there all the time. Multiple police and Border Patrol units don't just appear like that. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's what, to me, my spidey sense went up.
Yeah.
Because, first of all, for them to just be on this random road, just waiting on the off chance someone crosses from Canada onto this road, you know, I'm not buying it. Something is off with this.
Yeah, it's very interesting, and even different news agencies putting out, if you know anything about the Connors case,
yeah,
like just, I think you're definitely onto something. And by the way, there's no racial issue. These are white people, and they're very.
Where are they from?
They're from, where are they from? In
England.
In the UK, yes. Yeah. I said British, but I don't know exactly where in the UK. But
well, maybe we're finally going to get justice for the White House being burned down by these people.
But she's very blonde and very pretty. They're an attractive white couple.
Yeah, I'm not buying this.
And they're on social media. They're all over social media.
All right, look, now, so if it's true, then they're going to let them go and say, well, then get back to Canada and, you know. But it's the multiple police cars and Border Patrol agents just appearing. We don't have that happening on the southern border. We certainly don't have it happening on the northern border. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you go up there and sometimes they have border stops where they check your papers and whatnot, which is so annoying and unconstitutional in my opinion. But if you're within 100 miles of the border, they're allowed to do it. But it happens up there sometimes. But I've never just randomly seen like swarms, something's not right. I don't know. It's almost like they were looking for them. Like they were like, it's almost like the Connors might be spies or something. You know,
that's interesting.
That would be a great spy novel type thing.
Yeah, because otherwise, this family from the UK and they're over there and they go, "Oh, we made a wrong turn. It's not marked in the border." I don't think it's going to be a big deal. At worst, they're going to hold them, verify the story, and then send them back to Canada, right?
Well,
at worst.
And this happened October 3rd. So initially they were held. Then they were taken to Seattle, held there for a day or two, and then placed under arrest and then transferred all the way to Pennsylvania.
Yeah, something stinks about this story. It wouldn't happen that way. We're friends with the UK. It's not like we got a good relationship with them.
Yes.
It's not like they're from Iran or you know what I mean? They turned down the wrong road. And go, oh, well, we got these Iranians in custody now. This is one of our best friends, the Brits, and we have extended courtesy because the whole idea is that if this were to happen to us in the UK, they wouldn't put us into jail, right? It's kind of like an extended look out for each other.
So you're
reciprocity.
Saying perhaps the UK or Canada, perhaps their governments gave us a call or were watching. Or
I'm
something
saying
that,
something stinks here about this. I could understand if they were held in custody. I get that. But to then go to a Vancouver holding place and then to Berks County, Pennsylvania, and I don't know, it's something is rotten in Denmark, as the old saying goes. So
we will find out. The wife kind of reminds me of, she's 24, she reminds me of, remember Anna Nicole, who was the guest. What was her name? Anna Nicole Smith back in the day. She kind of looks like her.
It just reminds me of that. Remember that Brad Pitt, Angelina Jolie movie, Mr. and Mrs. Smith, when they were spies?
Great movie.
Reminds me of that. Something like that. Like, there's more to this story than what is meeting the eyes. Or maybe they're maybe it's like Walter White and kind of a thing. Or, I mean, just because they have a kid with them doesn't mean they're not criminals, right?
Well, then the kid thing's an interesting because somebody said, yeah, they tried for 5 years to have a baby. They were showing a lot of pictures. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know.
We're certainly not doing this to punish Britain. I don't think this is a way of getting, you know what I mean? Like, we're not, you know, like, the president's not going to call up the queen and be like, so, I have the Connors. You want them? You know what I mean? We'll release him if, you know what I mean? Like, there's no reason for us to want to cause what would be considered to be a diplomatic issue with one of our allies. If they did that to Americans, we'd be furious, right?
Yes.
And it wouldn't happen. They wouldn't do that to us because they know that the United States would be furious and say, hey, you're supposed to treat us with mutual respect and courtesy. That's what the passport's all about, right?
Yes.
Something about this stinks. I'm telling you right now. There's more to the story than meets the eye. It's my Spidey sense. I could be wrong, but, you know.
I trust the Zioli Spidey sense.
I'm usually right on these things when I get my instinct, you know.
So we do have this 20-year-old Philadelphia woman who we alluded to before the news, whose beach arrest went viral. I mean, internationally viral. Now she is punching back at Wildwood police with a civil rights lawsuit. She was 20 at the time. She's now 22. Emily Weinman, a.k.a. the Kensington Hottie.
Kensington Hottie.
Yes, so.
They're choking me. Right, Skellinger and the beach. Another unit.
They're choking me, man. Matt, I cannot breathe.
I'm not choking.
They're choking me, and yet I'm able to yell every F-bomb in the book at you.
Yo,
that's it.
Yo, get off me, yo.
Off me, yo.
Get off me, yo.
She did a plea deal in court. She served a year of probation. Remember, she was banned from Wildwood and its beaches for 1 year. Yep. So she served all that. And boom.
Which I don't know how that's a punishment, but okay.
And boom, now the civil lawsuit. So we'll see.
Yeah, they're just going to write her a check. That's what governments do these days. They just write checks. They just go, all right, how much you want? And you're done, you know?
Well, they're writing the check in California where they have now banned so-called lunch shaming. It guarantees all students a state-funded meal of the kid's choice, even if their parents or family failed or refused to pay for lunch, which brings us to TunaGate. Or Promgate in South Jersey, where a final vote is expected tonight to change this controversial lunch policy we've talked about. So just to review, under current policy, Cherry Hill Public School District, students who owe more than $10 get a tuna sandwich. That's it, tuna. No food for students whose parents have a $20 unpaid debt. School board has said they need to find a way to collect tens of thousands of dollars worth of unpaid lunches. So there are proposed changes on the table. The revised policy would allow students to choose a hot lunch from the meal of the day menu, but no a la carte items. But also there's another option where if students whose parents failed to pay face a ban from prom, as well as other extracurriculars.
Well, who the hell is going to want to go to prom with you if you stink like tuna fish?
Well, we'll see. This is now making national news, and with California just passing this law, it'll be interesting if they're influenced by that.
Yes.
We do have Governor Phil Murphy defending his decision to spend at least $1 million in taxpayer dollars on his larger satellite governor's office in Newark.
Yes, because the commute from Trenton to Newark in this day and age of motor coach, of horse-drawn carriages, is too much for the governor to do. It's very long, treacherous journey.
Well, he says Cuomo.
From Newark to Trenton.
He pointed to Cuomo, that he gets it like a sibling. Like, well, he got two offices.
Oh, my God. New York State, to drive from New York City to Buffalo takes, like, what, 8 hours, 6 hours or something like that? To drive from Trenton to Newark without traffic is 45 minutes. With the state police driving you, it's 36 minutes.
Right. He needs the bigger office.
New Jersey! I got a lot to do. I'm busy, New Jersey.
And I have to plug Palloween. That's Halloween, celebrated by the Police Athletic League in Abington. I'll be there tonight. Philmont Country Club, 6 p.m. Craft beer, wine, great food. Usually 750 people show up. A lot of music, a lot of fun. So if you want to go early and then go to the debate party, you know, with Zioli, we could do that, too.
Do that, too.
Eyewitness
New
weather.
Jersey, there's tolls, arrest stops. I can't, New Jersey. I need a bigger office. I can't commute 36 miles. God almighty. Almighty.
Sherry Hilvalvo brings us this news and weather and a whole lot more. Right now, they're having an incredible sale on their entire 2019 SUV line. The 40, 60, and 90, highly acclaimed for their safety, as you already know, but also design and intuitive functions. Hurry to Cherry Hill Volvo, where relationships really do matter. Dawn's the Only Show News Radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn. Hunter Biden was just on ABC News. I'll play you a clip of what Hunter Biden said. This is not what Joe Biden wants on the eve of the debate, I can tell you that.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
This is a little bit of Hunter Biden, who was on ABC Good Morning America. Take a listen.
I want to get to the heart of it. Did you and your father ever discuss Ukraine?
No. As I said, the only time was after a news account, and it wasn't a discussion in any way. There's no but to this. No, we never did.
Your dad said, I hope you know what you're doing.
I hope you know what you're doing.
I do.
And I said, I do. And that was literally the end of our discussion.
But that's discussing Ukraine.
Because my dad was vice president of the United States. There's literally nothing as a young man or as a full-grown adult that my father, in some way, hasn't had influence over, as it does not serve either one of us.
When he said,
"See,
I hope
stop
you know-
right there." Now he says, "There's nothing that my father doesn't have influence over." That's why you were hired, you idiot. That's the point. God, he's dumb. He should not be talking right now. What a dope. See, that's the point. There's nothing your father, as vice president, doesn't have influence over. That's why you were hired, Hunter. That's why Ukraine hired you. That's why this Chinese company hired you. Because your dad was vice president. And there's nothing that he doesn't have influence over. That's exactly why they hired you. You don't have to talk to him. First of all, talking to your dad about Ukraine when he says, I hope you know what you're doing, counts, in my book, as talking to your dad about Ukraine. But number two, you're proving the point that because your dad is vice president, he's got influence over everything. You don't have to talk to him. It's implied. You're Hunter Biden. Greg, just back that up for me, if you would, please, and play that again, because I mean, this guy's an idiot. This is why people should do media training before they go on TV and make jackasses out of themselves. Go ahead.
At the end of our discussion.
Why?
Because my dad was vice president of the United States. There's literally nothing as a young man or as a full-grown adult that my father, in some way, hasn't had influence over. As it
Thank
does
you.
Not serve either one of us.
When he said, I hope you know what you're doing, what did he think you were doing?
Well, he read the press reports that I joined the board of Burisma, which was a Ukrainian natural gas company. And there's been a lot of misinformation about me, not about my dad. Nobody buys that, but it buys this idea that I was unqualified to be on the board.
What were your qualifications to be on the board of Burisma?
Well, I was vice chairman of the board of Amtrak for 5 years. I was the chairman of the board of the UN World Food Program. I was a lawyer for Boies Schiller Flexner, one of the most prestigious law firms in the world.
You didn't have any extensive knowledge about natural gas or Ukraine itself, though.
No, but I think that I had as much knowledge as anybody else that was on the board, if not more.
In the list that you gave me,
I mean, the board was made up of a bunch of people that didn't know what the hell they were doing, so why not? Why shouldn't I join it, too? Nobody else had, knew what they were doing. Why? I'm not any different than anybody. And I was on the Amtrak board. I mean, Amtrak's a shining success. Billions of dollars in debt. Trains can't run on time. Freaking subsidized through the wazoo. Great success. Obviously, they put me on there. Oh, keep going.
If not more.
In the list that you gave me of the reasons why you're on that board, you did not list the fact that you were the son of the vice president.
Of course, yeah. No.
What role do you think that played?
I think that it is impossible for me to be on any of the boards that I just mentioned without saying that I'm the son of the vice president of the United States.
You were paid $50,000 a month for your position?
Look, I'm a private citizen. One thing that I don't have to do is sit here and open my kimono as it relates to how much money I make or make
your
or
what?
Did or didn't. But it's all been reported.
If your last name...
Wait. Open my kimono?
Yeah, it's like a Japanese...
So he's culturally
like
appropriating Japanese people?
Well, maybe that's what he wears
it's
for
like
a robe.
My kimono.
Is that what he's...
That's what rich people
is
wear.
Is he wearing the kimono during the interview is my question.
No, sir.
Because that would be creepy as hell. I'm sitting here in my kimono. I'm not opening this for you.
Relates to how much money I make or make or do.
Isn't there a Will Ferrell character where he wears the robe and...
Like the silk robe.
Yeah, the silk robe, right? Was that...
That was old school, I think.
That was also old school, yeah.
Old school? That's the picture in my mind. Hunter Biden coming down in his robe. I'm going to do this interview in my kimono. I'll try not to let my twig and berries hang out as I'm doing the interview. But I'm not opening my kimono to give you my...
Listen, one thing that I don't have to do is sit here and open my kimono as it relates to how much money I make or did or didn't. But it's all been reported.
If your last name wasn't Biden, do you think you would have been asked to be on the board of Burisma?
I don't know.
No, I know. Know. No, I can I call on me. Call on me. I know the answer. Call on me. No, obviously not. Just listening to you for 5 seconds, I can tell you no. Also, did the kimono line get you the job in China? Where they don't wear kimonos because that's Japan? You idiot. Oh, man. Oh, this is amazing to me. This is what we call media trading 101 here. Don't let Hunter Biden on TV to explain himself. There's literally nothing my dad hasn't had influence over from when I was a young man to when I was an adult. He's had influence over everything. But would you have gotten the job if your name wasn't Biden? I don't know. Man, teacher. Rich? No, he wouldn't have teacher, no way, because he's a giant dope. Can't you listen to him? It was Wedding Crashers. Thank you, Amy. Old school Wedding Crashers.
I'm sorry. It all runs together.
But that would be him, like coming down in the basement and then yelling up to Joe Biden to get a meatloaf. Jill! Meatloaf! I could see that.
Probably not. I don't think that there's a lot of things that would have happened in my life that if my last name wasn't Biden.
Why did you leave the board in April?
It's a 5-year term.
And you chose not to?
I chose. Yeah.
Why?
I think
made
it's
my money.
Honest.
I don't. The hell do I need to keep doing this for? I don't know what the hell I was doing.
This is your opportunity to say why.
Well, because this is what becomes a distraction, because I have to sit here and answer these questions. And so that's why I've committed that I won't serve on any boards or I won't work directly for any foreign entities when my dad becomes president.
Do you think that should be a rule across the board for any administration?
No. Look, that's the rule that I'm going to adhere to.
Do you regret being on the board to begin with?
No, I don't regret being on the board. What I regret is not taking into account that there would be a Rudy Giuliani and a president of the United States that would be listening to this ridiculous conspiracy idea, which has, again, been completely debunked by everyone.
By everyone I know. All my friends debunked it.
And, you know,
I think people
at
home are thinking, how could that not have crossed your mind? Or you wouldn't have felt just a little bit in your gut, like, maybe this isn't a good
idea.
Stop
it. I know what people at home are thinking. They're thinking, this guy's an idiot. If his last name wasn't Biden, he wouldn't have a job, like, anywhere. By the way, $50,000 a month times 60, which would be 5 years, $3 million.
Wow.
So, a lot of money. What's interesting is Chris Hines, who's John Kerry's stepson, was a partner with them and opposed, like, Biden doing this, joining the board, because of, quote, reputational risk.
Yeah, to his reputation, because he recommended him. People are going to go, he's an idiot.
No, that's not what I meant. I just meant...
He's going to go, if anyone knows we're friends, I'm going to be so embarrassed, because holy cow, what an idiot.
Go and sit on the board of this Ukrainian company.
I said to you, in retrospect, I wish that my judgment...
Right, but at the time, you never thought... This might not look right.
You know what? I'm a human. And you know what? Did I make a mistake? Well, maybe in the grand scheme of things, yeah. But did I make a mistake based upon some unethical lapse? Absolutely not.
China should start an investigation into the
Biden.
All right,
we'll have more on this in just a second. 855-839-1210. Bang up job on Amtrak there, Hunter. Bang up job. Amtrak is so deep in debt. Oh, my God. All right. So listen, here's the deal. When it comes to the debate watch party tonight, we're going to get started about 7 o'clock, and then 8 o'clock will be the debate. Be on stage, I'll have the megaphone, and we will be able to make fun of it and mock it together. I do have to let you know that one of the things people are watching for tonight is whether or not Joe Biden is going to be asked about all this stuff. When we come back, I will play for you what Joe Biden said regarding what he thinks he can do if he wins the nomination. Don't go away.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.